Hey, base! How low can you go?
Ding, ding, ding. Alright, cool.
Do you need some more public enemy?
No, I don't believe in having public enemies.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Little Chuck D?
Mm-hmm.
A little Professor Griff?
Are they all dead? They're dead, right?
No, they're not dead.
No?
Silly rabbit.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I guess they're not.
Right.
Huh. My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, public enemy. Mm-mm-mm.
I like me some public enemy.
You know, my wife saw Flava Flav in Chinatown when they went up for Reagan's school thing last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she put a picture on. Matter of fact, I know she did on Facebook.
Did he assault both of them?
No.
Okay.
They saw him walking down the sidewalk, and they got a picture. And then they went to eat at some Chinese restaurant, and he ended up showing up later.
Did they recognize him because of the giant clock that
of
he was wearing?
I mean, it's classic Flava Flav.
Or is this when he had, like, crazy, like, dreadlocks?
No dreadlocks.
But okay.
He did have the clock.
Of course.
Of course.
That's his brand. He has to stay with his brand.
Flava Flav!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, how you been there, man?
Oh, man. Chilling like a villain, my friend.
Yeah? How's your bum?
Oh, the bum's all A-okay. I'm ready to bum rush the show. Another public enemy reference. Hello. I got them all.
Oh, buddy. That's good. That's good. Very good.
Yeah. I went downtown, took the train in downtown.
Downtown.
And I got to say, I was for half the trip, I was listening to a podcast. And then I quickly was like, I'm not feeling this. This doesn't seem right. So you know what I did? I threw on The Latest and Greatest by Chicago's very own Chance the Rapper.
Oh.
And it fit that train motion. That oh, it was perfect. It was so good.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Chance the Rapper, eh?
Yes.
He's just fine. He's fine.
No, he's better than fine. He brings something to the table.
He's different for sure.
Yeah, and I like different.
Mm.
I was one of those people that for me it was like Q-Tip's voice was my calling into Tribe Called Quest because it was so different.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
Tribe
I get
awesome.
It. Like, I loved R.E.M. because of Michael Stipe's voice. You couldn't understand a word he said back in the day. But I totally understand when people are like, ugh, I hate his voice. And it's like, yeah, then you don't like the group. I totally understand. Like, I'm not going to try to, like, swing you over to my side. I get it.
Well, you can't understand him now either because he's not saying much.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they said the same thing about Nina Simone. They said the same thing about, you know, Sarah Vaughan. So it's whatever. Like, just because I like something doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to try to convince you that you have to like it. No big deal.
I think about that. Zoe really likes Billie Eilish.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that song's on the radio, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't know. I don't know anything that she's saying. She's just like whispering the whole time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Funny though, I like the song because it reminds me. There's like a specific period in like early '90s alternative rock that's very reminiscent of that for me. Like to me, Billie Eilish sounds like if Garbage was still doing music. Like that's probably what it would sound like.
I thought you were going to talk, I thought you were going to go into like, what did they went from like screech hardcore into like mumblecore.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Where
yeah.
It's like, what the hell are they even saying?
That's what I'm saying,
before
dude.
Before that, it was like screaming at the top of their, it was just like, all right, you can stop that. Oh my God, that's a headache and a half.
That's garbage.
But there are tons of people that love that type of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Which, get it on.
Dude, that's popular now. You got mumble rap, mumble pop.
See, I used to love, and I still do, and people don't understand, but like I still love Deftones. And
hell
I used to like the whisper scream thing that he used to do.
Hell yeah.
In the more current stuff, I don't know how like how much you've stuck with them through the years.
I have not.
But the last, like, 8 years, his delivery's totally changed. And I'm sure, you know, hell, he's older, so he can't deliver that gusto. So he sort of tweaked his delivery style, and it's really a cool style.
Interesting.
But they're a great band, dude.
Yeah, Deftones is great. I went to see Deftones when White Pony came out.
Oh, hell yeah. Do tell.
Oh, it was great. It was, who was playing? It was Taproot, Incubus, and Deftones.
Dude, that's another band. Incubus got a lot of shit for the lead singer being good looking.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, get the hell out of here. Like, you listen to that, like, they had a string of, like, three albums that were really, really different and good.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that's a heavy bill, dude.
It was good.
Wow, was that in Brooklyn?
No, matter of fact, it was, I want to say it was in the same studio where, Letterman used to do a show.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's cool. The Ed Sullivan Theater.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It was either there or like a venue right next to it. But yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Dang.
Yep. And, cause that, matter of fact, Make Yourself had just come out too. Cause White Pony came out in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And Make Yourself, I think was also in 2000. And Taproot had, oh God, I think it was like the first time any Taproot song had been played on the radio.
Mm.
I was a rock hipster back then, you know what I mean? Because I had been following Taproot because I actually dated the bassist's sister for a little while.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
So, yeah.
That's why this is the Nerdy Legion comfy couch. See, it's like a therapy session for your ear holes.
Every time.
Look at that. But
yeah, that was one of my favorite concerts.
I bet.
That was great.
Ooh. You must have had a ringing headache after that bad dog.
Oh, man. Not as bad as when I went to see System of a Down, but yes.
Yeah, I can imagine System of a Down. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah, because System was, shit. Who was in that show? It was System of a Down, Slipknot, and I want to say, like, Fear Factory opened for them.
Insane Clown Posse.
No. I'm pretty sure it was Fear Factory that opened, which is weird because like Fear Factory was already around for like years before that. But they weren't as popular as the other two bands at the time.
Yeah, when System got big, they freaking blew, they blew up to like Chili Pepper size.
Yep, they blew up.
Gee, many Christmas.
Yep, and I haven't followed System. I follow Slipknot sometimes, and like they've changed a lot.
Yeah.
Remember when Slipknot broke up and he made that other band? God, what was the name of that band?
Sheesh. That's a good trivia question. I don't recall.
Oh, I'm about to look this up right now.
Uh-oh.
God, dog, what was the name of that band? How would I even look this up?
I don't know, but I'm trying.
Hiatus, here we go. What
Hiatus?
Was the name? Yeah, because they broke up. And the lead singer made another band.
Stone Sour?
Stone Sour, that's it.
There we go. I put in Slipknot Offshoot.
There you go. That's much smarter than what I did. Much smarter. I think, who was it? Somebody just died, right? Like, wasn't it Corey Taylor's daughter that died? Or maybe Craig's daughter died? One of the two, I can't remember.
You're a lot more in depth with Slipknot than I ever was.
So. Yeah, she died, I think, a few months ago.
Yeah, I was never into screamcore.
Mm.
I was a lot more into crazy melodies and heavy rock. If I had to go heavy metal, I was more guitar oriented, groove type.
Metal. So I was a skater and a raver. So I was into like all the punk rock bands like MXPX and all that shit. And then like progressively they got into harder stuff. That was a weird time period in music though. Cause I remember when I was growing, and this is not even like that long ago, right? It's like 25 years ago, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Like punk rock was like, it was pretty poppy by that point, right? Like, it wasn't punk rock from the 80s at all.
Exactly.
It was very poppy. Yeah. But, like, you already had emo around, but emo was so different. Emo was, like, Weezer. Weezer was emo. Yeah. So, like, all the emo kids had, like, the short haircuts, and they wore the thick-rimmed glasses, and the freaking the sweaters. Well,
until My Chemical Romance.
Yes, until My Chemical Romance. And then, like, that's what became emo.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Then that became the poster child.
Yep. So that's kind of what Lucas grew up on. Right. So, like, Lucas had the hair parted to one side, like, really long down his face.
Of course.
And, like, just wearing black and the skinny jeans. God, I remember skinny jeans back then. Like, they didn't make skinny jeans. So you had to go to the women's section at the department store and buy, like, buy women's jeans. Like, that's what skinny jeans was back then.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Because they didn't make men's skinny jeans.
Gotcha.
Man, so much has changed in the past 25 years.
See, I went from punk into alternative, the real basic alternative. And then I got deeper and deeper into that. And then instead of finding skinhead music, I went the complete opposite route and I did straight edge music. So instead of skinny jeans, I would peg leg the jeans and then put a safety pin in them.
Of course.
There was no purchasing female jeans.
Of course.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had a very short skinny jean phase.
Nice.
In college. Before that, it was all JNCOs for me. All JNCOs, yeah. All the time.
Yeah, when I hit college, all of us, guess what? You know who came on the scene and completely changed it just like you for My Chemical Romance? Once Nirvana hit.
Mm.
Mother effer. Everyone, the fly in the flannel, go to it, fire hose, right into, oh, God. It was all Nirvana until, actually, no, I take that back. I went from probably Pixies into Nirvana.
Oh, Pixies is great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, that Where Is My Mind? The first time I heard Where Is My Mind was when I watched Fight Club for the first time.
Of course.
And let me tell you, like, there's very few songs I can listen to over and over. But sure. even now, I don't even know, how old is that? 30 years later?
Mm-hmm.
I could still just play Where Is My Mind on repeat, like, 24/7.
See, that, for me, that song, I mean, I got into them, like, one of my buddies' older brothers, Nelson, he was listening to their EP, and we always thought he was uber cool, so we started to listen to that, and then Surfer Rosa came out, but it was only available in Europe, so it was, like, one of those things that was so hard to find in the States.
Sure.
And just as soon as Where Is My Mind hit, oh, my God, it was one of those, like, this is great. This is our music. And then they played it so much on 120 minutes. It was everywhere. That, like, now I can't even listen to that. They're just like some REM songs. It's like, you have overplayed those. You've killed those songs to me.
No, I gotcha. There's a Pearl Jam station on XM.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's very good.
Do you hear some Pixies on there?
No, it's literally just Pearl Jam.
Holy Christ.
So wow. When my wife and I got married, we went to Arizona for a honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
We did, like, Flagstaff, Sedona, all that stuff. And we had a hell of a time catching our flight back. Like, they kept on canceling it or pushing it back and, like, putting people on a different plane and this, that, and the other. So we're like, F this. We're going to rent the car and drive back. So we rented a car and drove back from Arizona. It took, like, 20 hours. But we found the Pearl Jam station, and I think I played that station, like, half the trip back, and, like, literally, like, there was nothing but Pearl Jam on that station.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
It's good. Pearl Jam is great, man.
Oh yeah. I don't have anything wrong to say about Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm. Pearl Jam is great. I wasn't, like, huge into REM. I liked, what was that song? Losing My Religion. That came out when I was, like, 8 or 9.
Sure. Sure.
I'm telling you, that was like an auger of things to come.
See, I discovered Fables of the Reconstruction when I was down in Oklahoma. And then all of a sudden when The One I Love hit.
Yeah.
That was one of those, like, damn it, now the mainstream knows my music.
It's over.
Yep.
Yep. I know the feeling.
And I'm sure you got into those phases. Like, as soon as it gets on MTV, 120 minutes, or regular, like, alternative radio where anyone can hear it, then it's almost like, I'm done with that group. Throw them in the trash. Mm-hmm. Like, but then you look back at that and it's like, why did I leave them? They were still doing good music.
That's true. Dude, I even wonder if, like, anyone makes, like, good rock music anymore. Because I'll put on, like, usually I listen to podcasts, right? I always have my headphones in. So, sure. Like, at work, I have a podcast on. When I'm driving to work, I have a podcast on. When I'm driving home, like, whatever. But sometimes, like, maybe I'm out of a podcast or I want to just try some music. And I'll put on, like, The Planet, which is the rock station here. And let me tell, I don't think they ever play a song that's, like, newer than 10 or 15 years old. And if they do, like, I just maybe miss it or whatever. But it just feels like it's always stuff from, like, when I was growing up. And Zoe loves it. Zoe loves 90s music.
See, I was listening just today when I was waiting to go into where I had to go. They were playing a Sirius channel, and I forget what the hell it was. Just like what you're describing, like The Planet, Sirius 83.9 or mm-hmm. something like that. It was just some crazy made-up name. But I sort of had a different reaction. Every song was new, but every song that I heard was like, oh yeah, that's in that movie. Oh yeah, that's that commercial. Oh yeah, I heard that on, you know, on this radio commercial. Like, everything now that's popular has been tied to a product or a brand.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep. Yep.
I remember, oh God, I want to say the 90s, early 90s, I remember Neil Young raking people over the coals for selling out and selling their music. And I can't believe that the Beatles sold their music to Apple. And I can't believe it. And it's just one of those, like, guess what? 10 years later, everyone mm-hmm. is trying to make money. Because guess what? Your record label ain't really going to make you rich.
Yep.
If you're not selling music to, like, brands, then you're out there like Fish or Grateful Dead touring 11 months out of the year because that's the only way you can make money.
Yep, it's true.
Yeah, it's scary.
This is kind of weird. What's like your favorite song that's, like, appeared on, say, like, a movie soundtrack or a TV show?
Let me think about that. You know, the one that always gets me is around the holidays, some channels and some, like, trailers, they'll play John Coltrane's version of Greensleeves for the holidays, and that always puts me in a... It puts me completely back to living in Chicago, across the street from Second City, North and Wells. There was a nice little, like, towny neighborhood bar that had their own jukebox. And the owner of the bar, he only liked, like, rockabilly, and he liked jazz. And one of the albums they had in there was a John Coltrane album, which I absolutely adore, 50s and 60s jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And that John Coltrane album, you could play the entire version of Greensleeves, or he would have Love Supreme in there. And for the same price as a 2-minute song, you could play the entirety of one entire album of jazz because it's one entire song, Love Supreme, or African Brass. So I remember playing Greensleeves, not just around the holidays, just year round. And it just puts me right back to that spot.
So I have two favorites. And the reason I thought about this is I just watched the show, and I'll talk about it briefly at some point. Okay. But it had this song. It started playing, right? And I was like, this song sounds really familiar, but like not quite like I remember it. And like after watching a couple episodes of the show, it's like, that is that damn song. Just like, I don't know if they played it in a different key or if it's like different instruments that they used. Because it sounds maybe a little more orchestral. but it really well done. The show is, oh God, what's it called? Black Spot. But the song is, the theme song for 28 Days Later, which you probably have never seen because it's a zombie flick and it's very scary. But it was also, in Kick-Ass. I mean, I know you've seen Kick-Ass.
Sure. Yeah.
It's been in there. Have you ever seen, one of my favorite first person shooters of all time, by the way, Metroid 2033. I don't know if you ever played that.
No, I haven't.
All right. Also very scary. So I'm not surprised. Yeah. But watch the trailer for Metroid 2033 and it's the same song. And it's been in a bunch of other stuff.
Do you know who does it?
John Murphy.
Oh, okay. All right.
Love that freaking song. It's amazing. Amazing. Extremely atmospheric. And then my second favorite, should be no surprise, is the theme song to Arrival. What's that one called? On the Nature of Daylight by Max Richter. Fantastic song. And it's one of those songs where, like, it repeats into itself. So, like, as the song ends, it basically ends on the same chords as the beginning of the song. So, like, you can go on YouTube and find loops of this song for, like, 10 hours, 20 hours of, like, On the Nature of Daylight. And there's actually two versions. So he actually I don't think he actually composed it for the movie. I think it was on one of his albums. Because on the album, there's two different versions. One is the Arrival soundtrack version, but there is a different version that's a little bit longer.
Oh, neat.
That's really good as well.
Since you gave me two, can I give my second one?
Yeah, of course.
Dude, and this is from Chicago's very own. Can't believe I'm throwing this out. First, let me ask you, did you ever play Saints Row 3?
Yes.
Okay, then you'll know this exact part, but for the listener, I'll tell them. The song is from Chicago's very own Kanye West, and it's Power. And the beginning of Saints Row 3 is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it is the most 80s action film put into a video game in the first 15 minutes of the video game.
Sounds right.
And you go from being hijacked in a plane, and there's a group of planes being hijacked. You fight your way through the plane, shooting fools down. You jump out of the plane, and as soon as you jump out of the plane, Power starts, which is the da-da-da-da-da-da. And it is the most James Bond-ass song that isn't a James Bond song. Should have been in a James Bond action sequence, but wasn't. It was in Saints Row 3. And you go flying as you're free-falling. You're free-falling while shooting fools that are free-falling after you. There's parachuting fools that you're free-flowing to. As the song continues to go, you go through an actual plane. You bust in through the windshield. You go through the plane in slow-mo, shooting people and avoiding objects, and then out the back of that plane while it crashes into the other plane. It is the most boss music sequence. I was like floored by it. I mean, so much that, I mean, that song was good when I first heard it. Sure, everybody's heard it. It's been in umpteen commercials by this point. But that part, it takes me back, just like that towny bar, to playing Saints Row 3. And I don't think it's ever been better than that. And even when I listen to it in the car, I still picture flying slow-mo through the one plane as it explodes and flies into the plane that you just left. It's crazy. Where do they even come up with? I mean, it was the most Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis scene. I'm sure if people were interested, I'm sure you could go to YouTube and find that little clip. It is, I can't hype it up. And since you played it, I can't hype it up enough. And I know I've forgotten enough parts that there's no way that if you watched a clip of it, that it won't live up and surpass how I'm describing it. It's freaking insane.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking Terry Crews. That was Terry Crews' game, but that's Crackdown, not Saints Row.
sadly, that is Crackdown.
Yes.
The game that fell from grace.
Yes. However, yes. It is National Treasure Terry Crews, so it's got some redeeming qualities.
He is. He's wonderful.
He's hilarious. There's a YouTuber that I watch, Jace Two Cents. He does like PC builds.
Okay.
And he actually built Terry Crews a gaming PC.
Oh, yeah. Terry Crews has talked about this on many interviews.
Yeah.
That was him?
Yeah, Jace Two Cents. He also did one for Post Malone, the quote-unquote rapper.
Did you ever hear Terry Crews talk about that?
Dude, he was ecstatic in that video.
The one that I saw, he was so close to tears because by building that PC, it brought him and his son, like, even closer together.
Yeah.
It was crazy how that affected him. And I'm like, see, look what gaming can do. Come on! It isn't all this bullshit that, like, the government wants you to believe, like, games are violent. Look, that's why people go into schools and shoot people. It's like, no, come on.
Yep. All right, I'm going to send you the link to the video in our Twitter thing.
Great.
So you can watch it later. Yeah, it's a great PC. And it's funny, too, because he presents it at Terry Crews' office. And apparently, like, one of Terry Crews' side gigs is this, like hipster, like, craft furniture company.
Nice.
So, like, that's where it was presented. Yeah, it's really cool.
That's really cool. Hey, can I give you a little I don't know if you're going off. I'm going off of our show notes.
Sure.
I'm leaving our show notes because
breaking news.
Wait, if you leave the show notes, how are we going to know what to talk about?
Because this is breaking news, dude.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Come on, this just happened. I mean, we might have to release this episode tomorrow. This happened late last week. I don't know if you know this. I'm just going to be quoting right now from an article from The Thrillist.
Uh-oh.
Let me give you the title, and I'm pretty sure you can figure this one out and be as outraged as I am. Headline, Thrillist. Taco Bell is killing off 9 menu items in a major revamp.
What?
Yes. Would you like to know said 9 items?
Of course. It better not be nacho fries.
Buckle up, Buttercup. Beefy mini quesadillas.
Oh, those are pretty good. Okay. I think they're on the dollar menu. Yeah, that's okay. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Chipotle chicken loaded griller.
Never had it.
This is the one that effing kills me. This is the one am I loading up with 30 Taco Bell items before I'm leaving and spending only 23 cents? Yes. But the 30 items I'm getting, you know what will be included all the time? Now it isn't on the menu? Double-decker taco.
What?
Yes! Why are they getting rid of that? Okay, I proceed.
Wait. So I have a question.
Sure.
Wait, since this hasn't come out yet, we might be ahead of the game. Maybe we can make some money off of this.
Go ahead.
Could we go to Taco Bell and order, like, 300 double-decker tacos
and put them in our freezer
and then put them on eBay for like $10 a taco?
Okay, let me read the list and then I'll give you my advanced theory on this.
Yes.
Double-decker taco, don't understand that. You have all the fixings right there. You could do a double-decker. That is insanity to me, and there's no way that didn't sell. Cool Ranch Doritos Los Tacos, Fiery Doritos Los Tacos, Double Tostada, Power Menu Burrito, and then the Double XL Grilled Stuffed Burrito.
Whoa.
I don't understand the last one in the double decker. Now, let me give you my paranoid expert opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's popular at the old In-N-Out? You know what's popular at, give me another West Coast, big fast food chain. What the hell? Now I have to go and look this up. But let me tell you where I'm going with all this. I think I'm just going to, you know what? Let's let DuckDuckGo work a little bit.
See, this is going to mess me up because I see here, I found it, and apparently they're changing the menu numbers too.
Yes.
So I'm going to get confused because I always get chicken quesadilla, and now I'm going to order the wrong thing.
Well, let me throw this out. like a Del Taco.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you know what's popular? Those chains' secret menu items.
Oh.
I think if you look over all of the stuff that they're getting rid of, I think their main two focuses are on the Cool Ranch Dorito Los Tacos and the Fiery Dorito, because the nacho cheese one is still there. That one probably sells way more than the other two. So really, they wanted to get rid of those two. But if you go in and say, hey, can I have a double-decker taco? They probably will still make it for you. It'll just be on their secret menu.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess, because the shells of those two, you have to keep those in stock, and I'm sure they go bad. But all the other stuff, they still have all the stuff. They still have everything, except for those two shells.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess. That's my guess.
See, that's too bad. I like that fiery taco. I always get that.
Yeah.
That's my good taco of choice. Unless I do, like, I usually do the soft taco. But if I get a hard shell crunchy taco, then I get the fiery shell.
Yeah, it's good.
That's too bad.
I know. I knew you. Hey, I knew I could come to you
Look,
for that.
I think I'm going to go on Taco Bell strike now.
What?
This is unacceptable.
Unacceptable?
Unacceptable.
We don't want you to go on strike. They still need you.
Dude, that grill stuffed taco burrito is really good.
It is good.
It's good.
It's real good. Yeah, I won't.
Now I'm sad. Now I'm just going to take these show notes and throw them in the trash.
But while it was breaking news, I had to give it to you. You know that.
Yeah, it just bummed me out.
We're all, you know, we're here for the truth. I got to fill you in on that.
For the record, I'm not bummed out.
Yeah, of course you're not. It's the same 10 ingredient garbage that they throw in various combinations. Come on.
Yep, you are absolutely correct.
Like, can I still go in once this thing, I think this is starting this week, can I still go in a month and order a double-decker taco supreme?
Of course.
And they do it, for sure. But you know how quickly fast food chain restaurants have turnover with the, you know, 16-year-old blue-eyed youngsters. Do I expect to go in there in 2.5 years, and unless the manager is on duty, the old-timer? Can I order that and not have the 15-year-old be like, I don't know what that is? That's what I expect in about 2 years.
Well, it's not like you can't just be like, can I get two tostadas and just like put them on top of each other?
No, you know what I do? I say F that. And then I upgrade over to the Gordita Crunch Wrap.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, with the cheese instead of the beans.
Yeah, that's still good.
Delightful.
Oh, man. Old Taco Bell.
Yeah, you know, we fly their flag. So, you know, we had to bring this news out.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Taco Bell watch. The listeners, they're not on Taco Bell watch.
Nope. We do it for them.
Yeah.
Mm, God, Taco Bell. Now I want some Taco Bell.
Amen, brother. I hear you.
That's too bad.
Man.
I think they delivered to my house. I'll check later.
Oh, hell yeah.
Heather got Papa John's.
Okay, then this is a perfect question. When you're ordering for like Uber Eats, are you ordering in two sandwiches? Or like Heather, she's not ordering like $30 worth of food. Is she just ordering what she wants to eat and that, but yet somebody's coming to deliver that? You know what I'm saying? Like if I'm ordering Jimmy John's in, I want to order like three sandwiches to make it worth that delivery, even if it's $4. I still want to make it worth it, because there's a part of me that there would be guilt of like, this dum-dum has to drive all the way to deliver me a double-decker taco and you eat a crunch wrap, and that's all I'm ordering. Like all of a sudden they're like, that total is $2.50 with a delivery fee of $7.
Right.
You still approve that? Because
I just want my taco.
I can give them a $10 and just say, there's your tip. Enjoy. Keep it. Like, how do you do that?
Well, we usually don't do that. Because we both work in town, so Well, usually not even do Uber Eats or anything like that. We'll just pick something up on the way home.
Sure. But if you were to do that, like ordering a pizza, that can be justified because that's a $12 pizza, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden it's like Uber Eats delivers one Big Mac. What? One Big Mac? Or like, am I the jerk that's like, hey, can I have a $4 menu items delivered? Thanks. Like, come on.
I don't know, man. I don't know what, I don't think I would do that.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you should. I think I'd definitely make it worth my while.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I just want, I'm like, ah, oh, man, I would love, like, two tacos right now. I'm not going to order two tacos. But I will be like, hey, does anyone want, like, two more tacos? Because, like, what? If I order, you know, six or eight tacos, then, like, all right, I can probably deal with that. You know what I mean?
Or you order the box of 20 tacos.
There you go.
And especially when we were single, it'd be like, order the box of 20, knowing I can plow through five or six of those easy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then those can save in the fridge till the next day, no problemo.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Like my wife, we were watching somebody like pile through a box of the 20 tacos. And she's like, oh my God. Like, I think they ordered 400 or 100 tacos and they were going to eat them in one day. And of course they didn't. They ate about 35 of them. And then throughout the week, they showed a montage of them eating them. It was Try Guys. I'm sure your daughter watches Try Guys.
Probably.
But we're watching the montage and my wife goes, oh my God, they're still eating tacos through the week. How old are those tacos? And in my head, I'm like, this doesn't sound like she's ever dated a guy or like been with a guy during his like high school or college years, because guys would leave Taco Bell tacos in their freezer or fridge for way too long and pull those bad dogs out and keep eating them.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Jeez. Yeah. And tacos. I'm not even hungry, but now I want tacos.
Yeah, you do. What would be your go-to order right now at 10 o'clock at night? What would be the go-to? Let's put it this way. A go-to order that you're going to feel guilty about next week. Or not next week, tomorrow.
A double XL grilled stuffed burrito.
Okay. That's just that's to plant a base, of course, as we know.
Maybe like one of those stuffed potato burritos. I really like those.
The potato grillers?
Yeah.
That's a good dollar spend right there.
They used to be better when before they were on the dollar menu, because they used to make them like full size.
They used to do them like a grilled stuffed burrito.
Yes, but they don't do that anymore. Now they're tiny.
They were good that way.
They were good. What else would I get? Like I said, I love the chicken quesadilla. It's easy. I usually get that like if I'm on the run for lunch, because it's easy to stuff my mouth in it.
But still, tonight, I'm picturing you getting a chicken quesadilla. And guess what? Like we just talked about, if you only eat one or two pieces of that because, you know, you have other food, that'll save for tomorrow. We're good for that tomorrow. So where else are you going to be going? Are you a Cinnamon Twists fan? What type of drink are you getting?
Nah, the girls like the Cinnamon Twists. I don't really care.
Okay.
They like to get what's the little Cinnabon things, too? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the
balls.
Yes.
Those are pretty good. I don't get. I'm not big into sweets, man.
I'm just asking.
I'm not big into sweets.
What about a soda pop?
I keep it simple, man. I keep it simple. Do a Diet Pepsi with a little Sierra Mist.
Okay.
And a little bit of the Fanta. In it?
Oh, sure, yeah. Okay.
What's my wife call that? I can't remember. She had some name for it. She's like, what are you, 12? I'm like, maybe. It's fucking good.
Don't be jealous. Don't drink any of it. You'll be getting one yourself.
Don't hate that you don't have the balls to go out there and be like, yeah, I'm 38 years old and I'm mixing my drinks. So what? Because the kids do it all the time. My wife won't do it. She's embarrassed.
Ah, come on.
I'm like, who
That's
cares?
What it's there for.
Hell yeah.
See, my wife, I was shocked at this. My wife said to me, God, I think it might have been a month ago. she's like, because we were watching some video on YouTube, and she's like, it had corn dogs in it.
Mm.
And I'm like, damn, that's a good looking corn dog. You know that isn't frozen, because it was one of those like state fair, like the pound hot dog surround. And it, so oh, it wasn't yeah. like ginormous, gigantic, but you could just tell the way the corn, whatever the hell it's called on the outside, the batter was loose. So when they put it into the grease, it became like this alien looking thing. I'm like, you know, that's homemade. Oh my God, that looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then Julie, the cruise director, goes, well, I never even had a corn dog till I met you. And I was just like, what? Like, you went how many decades without ever trying a corn dog?
That's
what
crazy.
What the hell?
Corn dogs are fine. I'm more of a fan of the pigs in a blanket.
Okay, now please tell me what your definition of pigs in a blanket is.
Well, you know, it's the hot dog that's wrapped around the little croissant thing, the breaded thing.
This is okay. Now this is a discussion. You want to know what this northerner thinks pigs in a blanket is?
Go ahead.
Because the thing you describe, I heard on a podcast, and I was like, "What the hell are you even talking about? That sounds disgusting."
It's good.
Even though I did the same thing, but we never called it pigs in the blanket, but my mom would roll up the Pillsbury croissant rolls
yep.
around hot dogs.
Yeah.
Never called it pigs in a blanket, but we had those. So I know what those taste like. Those are delicious. But for this northern boy, this fancy lad, pigs in a blanket, the only pigs in a blanket up here is sausage links. Like breakfast sausage links.
Huh.
With a pancake rolled around it.
Oh, I've had yeah. that. That's good. I never knew what it was called.
That's pigs in a blanket.
Interesting.
So that's why when you described that, I'm like, oh, okay, we have different names for this.
Interesting. Now I got to look up what we call the sausage link with the pancake around it.
And I guess in Europe, pigs in a blanket is something completely different that they do for, I want to say, Christmas?
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a whole different animal.
So let's see here. Sausage wrapped in a pancake. See, I can't find like a name for it. They just all say pancakes on a stick, sausage wrapped in pancake, sausage pancake dippers, breakfast pigs.
Oh, get out of here.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Pigs in a blanket. Oh, here we go. Let's go to the official Wikipedia page.
Uh-oh.
Pigs in a blanket. Let's see. In the UK, pigs in a blanket refers to small sausages wrapped in bacon.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
That sounds
good. I knew
it was
something completely different. That sounds wonderful.
Count me in.
Yeah.
In the United States, the term pigs in a blanket typically refers to hot dogs and croissant rolls, but may include Vienna sausages, cocktail, or breakfast link sausages baked inside biscuit dough or croissant dough. The pancake, the dough is sometimes homemade, but canned is most common. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Elsewhere, in Russia, the dish is named sosiska vteste, sausage in dough. That's boring. Get a better name, Russia. In Israel, Moshe Bateva, Moses in the basket. Oh, I like that. See?
Wow.
That's a deep cut.
I like that.
Israel gets +5 points. Ooh, and they use phyllo dough. That's fancy. Ooh,
that is fancy.
But they put ketchup on it. What in the world? All right.
That's what I used to do with your version of pigs in a blanket. That's what my mom would serve, that only with ketchup.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Hmm.
Now all you're right. making me hungry for that. Can I get a grocery store to make those up for me and overeat them? Those sound wonderful.
Let's see here. In Denmark, they're called sausage wagons. I can deal with that.
I like that.
In Finland, it is called hidden sausage.
Oh.
That's what she said. In Mexico, it's wrapped in a tortilla and deep fried in vegetable oil. It is called a salchitaco. Whoa.
not nearly as good. You know what this proves? Other than Mexico, which doesn't sound nearly as nice as yours or mine, but what it shows is any version of pigs in a blanket is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I found a different one.
Uh-oh.
In Australia, Pig in a Blanket is also a party dish which consists of mashed potato wrapped in Devon. What's Devon?
I don't know.
Let's find out. See, Andrew Shaw, you should just be on the show so you can translate for us. I don't know what this stuff is. I just watch your football. I don't know what it is. I can't find it.
Isn't there a link right there to the Wikipedia? Well, don't they hyperlink that?
Not Devon.
What the heck?
So whatever Devon is.
Dang it.
Oh, man. See, now I want some of this. You know what I want? I want some freaking, like, little mini weenies, man.
Mm. Like, now, would you do those with the croissant? Or would you do it with the... I would go with the biscuit.
No, like, I just want the little mini weenies in the freaking crock pot.
Oh, no, I want the mini weenies with a little bit of biscuit dough around.
Yeah, a little biscuit dough. I hear you. I'm going to try this phyllo dough thing. That sounds good.
That sounds all right, but does a phyllo dough becomes a little... there's so much butter to it.
Mm.
It's a little greasy.
It is a lot of butter.
Yeah.
I've never made it because I watched a video on how to make it one time, and I was like, that is too much butter.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Bacon-wrapped foods. Devils on horseback. What is that? That looks, ew, prunes. Prunes wrapped in bacon. All right.
Well,
interesting.
Bacon can make anything better.
Not a fan of that. This is good. Angels on horseback. It is oysters wrapped in bacon.
Mm.
I'm down with that.
Take them both.
Bacon explosion. I'm not even going to read that. That sounds too complicated. Ooh, that's the freaking the little lattice thing that they do at Epic Mealtime. You know how they like overlay to make a little... Yeah.
The bacon web?
The bacon web. That's called a bacon explosion.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
Interesting. Nice. Welcome to the Bacon Hour with Nick and Martin.
I turned my wife on probably a year ago to Epic Mealtime. She never watched it before.
Oh, God.
And she didn't find like the quacking for the cursing, the jokesterism that was going on, the drunkenism. She didn't find any of that funny. She watched a couple and then she's like, how could these guys eat all this? Oh, that's it. Like all of a sudden, like she put on her dietitian cap.
Mm.
And I was just like, oh my God, come on. I'm like, you don't need to be commenting about like their heart disease. Like,
listen, you need to tell her cruise directors need to have party food.
Right.
And that's party food.
So let's go out and get some pigs in a blanket.
And then bathe them in whiskey. Mm-hmm. I had a good conversation with Dennis. I saw Dennis the other day.
What?
Yeah, Dennis and his wife were here. They were in town.
Wow, wild.
Yep. So I met up with them at the Carolina Ale House.
Ooh.
And had a great time. His wife is hilarious.
That's good.
And we talked about whiskey. Apparently there's some place that makes like craft gins. Near Ronnie's house. So next month is Ronnie's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might go up a day early and try to get a little tour of this gin place.
Uh-huh. In your gin. Awesome.
Dude, they have hibiscus gin.
Ooh.
We now, did you like know that you want that.
We did like that hibiscus Belgian.
Yeah, that beer? Oh, man, that was good. I haven't seen it since. I mean, I don't go to Trader Joe's that much, but...
I'm going tomorrow, and I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, let me know what they have there.
Okay.
Let me know what they have. But yes, we had a good time.
I haven't seen their version of beers change all too often. They used to always do some like different stuff depending on the season.
Yeah.
The Trader Joe's versions.
Yep.
But they've been keeping, the last couple times I've been there, they've been keeping to the same like three or four beers that they always carry, the staples.
Mm.
But how was this little ale house? How was seeing Dennis in the wild?
It was good. Well, I mean, I've seen Dennis in the wild. We saw him at C2E2.
I know, but you had him all to yourself.
Well, I had to share him with his wife.
Yes.
No, it was good. I mean, it was cool, like, hanging out with someone that, like, I know and I talked to and I podcasted with, but, like, in my town. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is neat.
Yeah. So, hey, for anyone that doesn't know, Dennis is a co-host of Best of the Rest. Go check that out. NerdLegion.com/podcast/BOTR. I think that's right. But yes, it was cool. It was great. We had a good time. Cool. I got there, I don't know, about 9:30, and I think we left probably about 12:30.
Ooh, holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Close the place down.
They close it too.
Oh, okay.
But I think they had been there for a little bit, and so, you know, they had had some beer. I don't even know what he was drinking. Oh, you know what? Yeah, he was drinking some, like, local Pilsner.
Nice.
Which is fine. I had my tried and true, the Hopsecutioner.
Ooh.
Very good beer.
In town for an estate sale so he can find some hard-to-find comics?
We did discuss this estate sale thing because I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
But no, apparently his wife wanted to see the Indigo Girls.
Nice. I'm right there with her.
Yeah, and I guess they have friends that live not too far from here. So they came to visit, and they were going to go see the Indigo Girls, and brought Dennis along because Dennis went to the University of Tennessee, and so he's a UT fan. So they went to go see a game in Tennessee last Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah. So they went there Sunday, and then we went out Monday, and the concert was Tuesday, so yesterday.
Man.
Yep.
Jam packed,
and I think they left today, or maybe they left. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they left today.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, so no comic book buy-in while he's in your neck of the woods.
No, sadly, I asked him. He's like, no, I don't even have time. which is too bad. I mean, the shop we've got here is really good. Borderlands comics and games.
Mm.
Their website's not very good, but they do have an eBay store, so check that out. They are not a sponsor.
Shame on them.
Shame on you, Rob.
Mm.
Rob's great. They've, I think he bought that shop from somebody else, and they've, like, really turned it around. You know, they do the local con here, which is freaking huge now. So they've done pretty well for themselves.
Rob, we can do an exchange program, the first appearance of Moon Knight for ads on our Nerdy Legion podcast. So get on it. Let's do a trade.
There you go. Hey, we can do like the Bright Side guys. They have a comic shop sponsor. You just mention the name and you get, I think, 15% off.
There you go.
We might have to do that.
Yeah, but I want more of a trade for you so you can get the first appearance of Moon Knight.
Funny enough, I was talking to Dennis, and maybe I shouldn't talk about this.
No, you probably should.
All right, I will not say what shop it was, but Dennis told me of a shop. Excuse me, I nearly died.
Uh-huh.
He says the guy's got a 7.5 CGC and only wanted like $700 for it. And I was like, wow. Are you sure? He's like, I'm pretty damn positive. He had the 7.5 for $700, and he also had a raw copy. I was like, when you get back home, you let me know, because that's a deal.
Let's not mention that shop. Let him do some covert. You need to take care of that.
I do. I got to fix it.
Hey, I got let's do a little media talk right now.
Oh, I like media.
Okay, cuz I have watched two things.
Mm.
One on Amazon Prime, one on the Netflix.
Cool.
And two shows on Comedy Central.
All right, so I've watched one show and one movie.
Where are these on?
The show is on Netflix, and the movie was in theaters.
Oh, okay. Hit me.
No, you started this. You go first.
Okay, where should I start?
Wherever you'd like. You can talk. Okay. Wait, are you going to talk about how people are freaking out about the new iPhone cameras?
No, I wasn't. That wasn't even going to be part of it. But we can start there.
No. I don't really even want to talk about that. I got on Twitter. What day was that? Tuesday, right? The conference.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I got on Twitter and I went to the news tab or whatever they call it, trending, I guess.
Sure.
So of course it's trending. Like the first thing that showed up is like people are getting tryptophobia from the latest iPhone announcement. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? So, of course, I had to click it.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I'm not down with the clickbait, but that was a good headline.
That was.
Right? Like, I was like, you know what? You deserve my half a cent for this click. So I clicked it. And I wish I hadn't.
Uh-oh.
Because it, like, had people, like, tweeting about their phobia of the number 3 and how they can't get the new iPhone because it has 3 cameras on the back. And I'm like,
bro,
man, I'm, like, on the wrong planet. You know what I mean?
Oh, like,
here I am, like, discovering the universe by watching, staring at my hand, and people are freaking out about iPhone cameras. I don't give 2 shits.
Crazy.
We're not going to talk about that, but there is something that
when I do get some income coming my way, will Nick be purchasing the yellow iPhone? You bet your bippy.
I'm perfectly happy with my Nexus 5 that was released in the year of our Lord 2012. Thank you.
Yes, I know. I know you are. I appreciate. I respect that.
That's I love good. That little phone. It is the perfect sized phone for any sized hand.
Sure.
It is. Good. It's very good. But of course, like, it doesn't have fake cameras. So, like, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
People love cameras on their phones.
They do.
I don't give 2 shits about cameras. It's so funny though. Like, I was thinking about this. I don't want to talk about this topic. So please stop me in like 60 seconds. Cause this is really not that serious, but, like everyone, oh, when like a new phone comes out, everyone's like, oh, the camera this, the camera that. And like, you look at the tech and like, it's not even a camera, right? Cause like, they all basically have the same sensors. It's just like the software behind the cameras. And like, none of these pictures are real cause they're all computer generated, right? Like when what do they call it? The night sight, when you can take the pictures at night and like in complete darkness. And then, like, it runs it through its software, and, like, it's just like you took a picture in the daylight. I'm like, that's not a real picture. I want a real picture. Give me – where's my goddamn 35-millimeter camera? That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Get off my lawn.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. All right, old man. Let's move on. Media. My two – I don't even know if I'd recommend them, but I've been – for me – been loving them. My two Comedy Central shows that I've been watching is the new David Spade show that's on after. Oh, I forget the show right now.
It's a show, not stand up.
No, it's a half hour show that he does with 3 other comedians.
Mm.
So it's just a half hour. It's quick in, quick out. I've always liked how swarmy David Spade is and how he leans into it, which is always fun. And I checked out the first episode of Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik. And it's just him talking to one-on-one, sitting across the table, very Charlie Rose-ish, but he's talking to his comedian friends. And the first episode has Nick Kroll on it.
Oh,
so it's good. If you're at all interested, go to comedycentral.com and watch a few episodes only one Anthony Jeselnik, and multiple episodes are online if you want to go check it out for free.
I might check that out since we're on the comedian beat.
Yes.
My wife and I are going to go see a comedian here in town next week.
Gallagher?
It is not Gallagher, but you're pretty close. You're close, buddy.
Pauly Shore?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Biodome Bronx. Woo-woo.
Yep.
Oh,
yep. My wife and I are going to go see Pauly Shore next Friday. Well, not this Friday, next week Friday.
Oh, my. Is he at a Harrah's casino? He has to be at some casino,
no,
right?
It's a comedy club.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. She showed me the thing, and I was like, wait, Pauly Shore's coming here? She's like, yeah, we have to go see him. I was like, all right.
For sure.
Whatever.
Let's get on
it.
Yeah. They just did a mini comedy Bang Bang tour that just came to Chicago Theater last Sunday, which was my wife's birthday, so there was absolutely no way I could get off and go do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Scott Aukerman, of course, Comedy Bang Bang,
mm-hmm.
with the two other people from Threedom. So Paul F. Tompkins was part of it, and Lisa Lapkus was part of it, as well as a few other stand-up, like improv stand-up people. And I was just like, man, that's the one thing. Like, it was a mini tour, so it was like 5 cities.
Mm.
And shockingly, Chicago, usually it's all East Coast, West Coast. Like, they'll hit, whenever you ever see like comedy tours, it's like they gotta hit Colorado, they might hit Austin, and then it's both coasts. And I'm like, but Chicago, we're right there. We're right in the middle. And then sure as shit, this thing hits and it's like, oh, September 8th. Damn it, September 8th. How can I work this? How can I make this sound like this is a good thing? Well, you know, even if you don't want to stay out late, maybe I can go, right? No. So just kept my mouth shut on that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. I hope you can report back.
Oh, I will report back.
I hope so. I hope you get there early enough, and I'm sure he'll have a opening act. You should see the opening act.
Mm-hmm. FYI, for the comic book fans listening to this, Michael Walsh is having a sale on his Black Hammer Justice League original art.
Ooh.
And it's very affordable.
Will that sale still be going on next week when this episode gets released?
Oh, good question.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
But very affordable. MichaelWalshComics.com/shop.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. Real quick, I'm just going to run through the show, the TV show that I finished, the series, I should say, that I finished on Netflix. It was one we've already discussed, and it's called The Family.
Mmm.
Yes.
Give me some thoughts.
I thought it was going to be a lot more secretive. But I liked the way that the news media just sort of blew them up.
Yeah.
And they kept really struggling to like, no. We're just very quiet over here. Just pay no attention to us.
Yeah.
But should we be surprised that backroom deals go on? No.
No, of course not.
Come on, you're not shedding any light on that.
I thought
they were going to go more into, well, there's a whole other house with women that are there to serve the men. Like, I thought they were going to go into that a little bit more, and they just sort of breezed over that.
Yeah, maybe season two. Yeah.
But it was interesting. It was good.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good for. I think it's good for people to see stuff like that.
I like that that it's not like over sensationalized, right?
Yeah.
It just basically just sticks to the facts, and like you can draw your own conclusions after that.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And
the film that I saw on Amazon, streaming now free on Amazon, is Doomed.
Oh, the Fantastic Four.
The unknown story of Roger Corman's Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend
that. Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, I didn't know if you saw it or not. That was a lot of fun.
Matter of fact, I did see it, but it was on my queue for like a year because I believe you brought it up to my attention some years ago.
Yes, I did. But I believe that was when it was for rent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. I like all those documentaries. That one's good. The Superman one is good. What was that one called? Superman Lives or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Not the Nick Cage one.
Yeah, the Nick Cage one.
That one's on Amazon?
Oh, I don't know if it's on Amazon, but it's good.
I haven't seen it because I've been waiting for it to stream free somewhere.
I don't think I paid for it. It had to be free somewhere.
I don't know. I know it's on YouTube, but I ain't going to watch a crappy
Maybe that's
whatever
where I saw
it. 6x6 image. It's like, I want to see that widescreen, dum-dum.
See, I watch that stuff on my computer, so.
Yeah, I know.
I got the 27-inch.
Oh, bragger.
Mm-hmm. So she said. No, that's good. Yeah, I recommend that one. Doomed is great.
Okay, my issue, and I had to ask one of my friends about Doomed, and I always ask the same question when somebody says, it's on Amazon. My one question that I always ask is, does it look like a documentary that came out in theaters? Because they have some crappy ass things that people film with their own handheld camera or talking into a camera like a psychopath. And it just gets released on Amazon for free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, sure, you might be talking about this rock band that I'm sort of interested in, but you're just a dumb fan sitting there recording yourself onto a VHS tape, and now it's on Amazon Prime for free. Like, it doesn't serve any, like, it is not an official movie. It's like fan-made film. So that's why I always have to ask, does it look like, is there a production value? Are the talking heads lit professionally? That's the line I draw.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, that reminds me, who was talking about it? I think Mike was talking about it on What Did You Watch This Week. There is a documentary about like the extras in Star Wars.
Huh.
And I'm pretty sure that's streaming free on Amazon.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called. But the one that I'm really excited about, and oddly enough, I saw a trailer for this documentary at the movie that I went to see in theaters.
Okay.
It is called, oh God, what's this documentary called? Boop, 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 boop. It's called Memory, The Origins of Alien.
Alien, yeah. The film?
Yes.
Ooh.
It is a documentary about the making of the original Alien film in 79. I guess it premiered at Sundance earlier this year. It's getting a limited release first week of October in theaters, and simultaneously being released streaming to rent that same week.
Ooh.
October 4th is when it's coming out.
Dude, I loved Alien so
on this one.
I loved Alien so much that I even watched at H.R. Giger, not really knowing anything, and this was high school, not knowing anything about the artist, just knowing that he did the concepts for the Alien.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I want to know more about Ridley Scott in this Alien film, so I'll watch this documentary, and I'm like, wait, that wasn't even about anything having to do with Alien. It was like all weird android women.
Oh, I think I saw that. Yeah.
It was good.
It was good.
You're in high school, but that wasn't what I came for. I wanted to know more about the concepts of Alien.
Yep. I'm really excited for this. I love that. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to see this documentary. It is from the same guy that did 7852, the documentary about, like, Alfred Hitchcock's shower scenes.
Oh.
And he did one on The Exorcist as well.
Neat.
So he likes to do this kind of stuff. I'm excited for this. The trailer for the documentary looks great.
I'm going to have to watch
so
that.
So you should check it out.
I will. I never even heard of it.
Yep. Very excited for this. So I saw this trailer. Along with the Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of One Harley Quinn or whatever that super long title is. I saw the trailer for that as well. When I went to go see It. Chapter 2.
It Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. It Chapter with, 2.
With Professor Xavier and what's his name? Bill
Hader.
Yeah, yep. Bill Hader.
Jessica Chastain.
Oh, hello.
And several others. It was good. I thought it was better than the first one.
Ooh, okay.
I thought it was hilarious.
Well, you want it to be funny, a little bit funny.
Yeah, I thought, well, there was a lot more humor than the first one. Okay. And a lot of that, obviously, through Bill Hader.
Sure.
He plays the grown-up version of the kid from Stranger Things in the first movie. So he did great. They all did great. I really enjoy the movie. They made some changes to the story of the book.
Sure.
There was one scene. My wife's like, "Wait, that never happened in the book." I'm like, "Yeah, that's the point. You're watching the movie. If you wanted the book story, go read the book." But it was good. Yeah, I thought it was better than the first one. I mean, it's not like, oh my god, that's so good. There's some jump scares, but not as many as in the first one. And I would rate it a solid thumbs up.
Very good. Any trailers that you saw that caught your eye that you want to go see now?
Yeah, so the Making of Alien, the Memory, whatever it's called.
Yes.
And then the Birds of Prey trailer, which, as I said on Twitter, was not really a trailer. Because I saw the DC thing come up, and I was like, ah, yes, this is why I'm here. I was invited to go to see it, but, like, the reason I went was because the only way to see this trailer was to go see it.
Ah, you tricked her.
So I was very excited.
Baby, I know you love your Stephen King. I'm going to – you know what? I'm taking one for the team. Let's go see that.
Well, I mean, I saw the first one, so I had to watch the conclusion.
Oh, sure you did.
I was very excited for the trailer, and I was disappointed. I don't understand why they released it this way. I called it barely a teaser.
Oh, boy.
I don't think you even, like, hear anyone talking, to be honest. Carly has a line, maybe, but it's one of those, like, talking to the audience kind of lines.
Oh, brother. So I'll just avoid that one.
But, yeah, so don't even worry about the trailer. But they all look good. They look great. I will say that. I mean, obviously, great. Margot Robbie is Harley. I think she's fantastic. But they showed some of the other characters on there, like Huntress and Orphan and stuff. And they look great. So
great.
I'm excited to see the movie. But don't even bother seeking this trailer out.
Yes. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
And outside of that, I don't remember. Those are the only two that, like, really caught my eye.
Oh, man.
I'm sure there were some other ones on there, but nothing that really was like, oh, yeah, I got to see that.
Maybe let me guess what you saw, because I know they did a brand new trailer for this film. It's going to be a Tom – attention. This is a Tom Wetmore special. Rambo.
Yep, that was on there.
Yeah, there.
Yep,
it had to be. Come on now.
I mean, I'm gonna see Rambo. Like, whatever. You know, I've seen all the other Rambo, so I'm gonna see this Rambo.
Oh, Tom's all in. He's all in this, and I sent him Terminator: Dark Fate.
Oh, yep, that one was on there. Yep.
And he wrote back. He was like, "I'm available this weekend," and I'm like, "You don't understand. It's not out for like a month and a half."
That's hilarious.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I'm curious about Dark Fate.
Oh, I don't even care if that gets a half star. I could care. I am so on the big screen, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's the only way to see it.
Even if it wasn't produced by James Cameron coming back, James Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Even like he's not directing it. It could still be a pile of shit.
Sure.
But I just like this concept, and I like Linda Hamilton coming back.
Yep.
Even beyond, like, I could care less if Arnold was there, but just to get her back in, like, okay, I want to see where this character goes. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm more curious to see, like, how they retcon everything. Because basically this movie takes place after Terminator 2, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And everything else, like all the other Terminator movies, never happened.
God, come on. Man.
So it's the Terminator T2 and then Terminator Dark Fate.
They're doing a Halloween, the new Halloween.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I still want to see that. After your review,
oh, it's good.
You go see it? Yeah, I still want to see that movie.
Yeah, the new
I
one.
I shouldn't, but I want to.
No, you should. It's good. And the new one comes out next year, I think.
Wow, crazy.
Yep. Which is weird. Like, it was really good. And that movie was written by, what's that little weird guy with the afro?
Afro.
Yeah, what's his name? He's a comedian. Oh, crap. Hang on.
Jordan Peele?
Nope. Oh, God. Halloween. Maybe Halloween Rider was not the correct way to do this.
Oh, boy.
Dang. So there's two more sequels. The next one's Halloween Kills in 2020, and then Halloween Ends in 2021. Written by Danny McBride.
Oh, wow. Okay. Huh.
Yep.
So you can expect a little bit more comedy? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm sure. I mean, this one had some comedy in it.
Okay. Well, yep. Hey, at least there's somebody pumping some new energy into that.
Yep. Oh, I know what the other trailer was. Black Christmas.
What is that about?
It's a slasher flick. Basically, there's like a secret society in a university, like this fraternity, and they're killing the sorority girls, and then like the girls fight back.
Oh.
Yeah. It's one of those Blumhouse things, you know, so it costs like $1 to make.
Yeah, it'll make a million.
Yeah, whatever. It looks fine. I'm not going to say, like, I'll watch it when it's on Netflix.
Gotcha. Did you tell me the series that you watched?
No, so I'm about to. So I watched Netflix original series Black Spot.
Oh, you already previewed it earlier in the episode.
Yes, I watched the first season. There's two seasons out.
Okay.
Season two like came out fairly recently. Each season is 8 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It is a French show, so it is in French with English subtitles. Oddly enough, the French name of this TV show is Zone Blanche, which means white zone. So it's odd that they translated it to Black Spot. But I did some digging, and apparently, like, everywhere that this show has been released has a different name. Like, in Brazil, it's called The Green Maze. Anyways, so it takes place in this town called Villefranche, and the reason it's called Zone Blanche is because there's no cell reception there. That's the French term for dead zone, basically. So, I mean, they probably couldn't translate it to the dead zone because that's a Stephen King thing. So that's where they went Black Spot. But it's a remote town in France, surrounded heavily by like heavy forests. And there's a lot of like inner town politics stuff going on, but the weird thing about this place, not only is there like no cell reception, like very little radio reception, but like it's a small dying town, right? It's a logging town, but like the mill's getting shut down, and you don't really know why. But the whole town is basically owned by this one family, and one of the odd things is there's a very high rate of murder in this town, like 10 times the national average. So this district attorney gets sent from, I assume, Paris or some bigger nearby town to investigate what the deal is. And so there's a lot of like pitting characters together or against each other based on like certain interests. And what those are would just take way too long to explain. I mean, like I said, it's 8 episodes, so whatever. But it's really interesting. And so they're, like, every episode, they're basically solving a different murder or some kind of crime. But there is a crime that takes, like, the entire first season to solve. And that's the disappearance of the mayor's daughter. The mayor's family owns the whole town.
So that's the overarching, that's the story A, and then the crimes each episode is like the B line?
Yes.
Gotcha.
However, like, as you get deeper and deeper, like, you see, like, there's something weird going on here. Because, like, the way that you see the crimes happen, like, at the beginning of the episode, right? Like you do with, you know, like NCI, whatever those shows are, CSI and NCIS. Like you see the crime happen, and the rest of the episode is like figuring out what happened, right? Except like when you see the crime, it almost looks a little supernatural. Like there's something supernatural happening. But then like as the crime is being investigated, you see like it's just people making shitty decisions, and like bad stuff happens. But there is also another subplot that's also dealing a little bit with the supernatural. Part of it has to do with the mayor's disappearance. Part of it has to do with the chief of police. And I don't know if they, I don't know how it works in France. It's not, they're not actually police. It's a gendarmerie. So it's like a military branch, but they serve as police. But like, they're not in uniform or anything. Like, they basically just wear jeans and flannel shirts the whole season. I don't know how that works in France. So anyways, she is really invested in the mayor's daughter's disappearance. Number one, because they used to date in high school. And maybe they have a little thing still going on. That's one of the subplots. But okay. Also, she disappeared in the woods 20 years earlier.
Ooh.
And there's some weird that stuff that may be supernatural there. But anyway, so you're watching this, right? And you're like, okay, there's some like X-Files-y type stuff going on here. But it's never played into like any conspiracy theories or like aliens or monsters or nothing like that.
Does it feel like a police procedural show?
Yes. And I would say like a little crime noir-ish also.
So they're using that skeleton, but they're also obviously adding in bits and pieces to throw you off of, this is like Law and Order, but not really like Law and Order, but we're going to trick you because in your head, you're thinking it's like Law and Order.
Yes.
I like that. Playing with the convention.
And, like as the season progresses, there's like extra stuff that may seem a little supernatural. Like there may be some like Celtic Druidic type serial killer in the woods. Maybe. Like, who thinks he's a shaman. But maybe not, but maybe yes. Yeah. And then you get that, but then you realize that's not actually what's going on.
Interesting.
And
the creators of this show done anything other than this show?
I didn't look it up. I don't know.
Okay. Just curious.
Not to spoil it, because, I mean, you do see there's a character that pops in and out throughout this first season. But you don't actually see it until the last bit of the final episode.
Ah.
And I'm not going to spoil how that season ends.
Uh-oh.
But the way it ends, you're like, yep, there's some magic shit happening here.
Ooh, interesting.
And again,
how many seasons are on Netflix?
There's 2 seasons, 8 episodes apiece.
And at the end of season, have you seen season 2?
I started the first episode.
Damn it. Because I want to know, is everything wrapped up or do they lead something into season 3?
I will say, like, season 2 kicks off where you're like, yep, definitely magic.
Dang it, there's some magic going on around here.
Like, the first episode of season 2 basically starts in, like, the year 76. And there's, like, a Roman legion building a road through this town.
Huh.
And people are disappearing.
Is it something I would dig, or is it too tense and scary?
It is not scary. There are tense moments, but it's not like, oh my god, what's going to happen next?
Because parts of it remind me of The Killing.
Yes.
Is it that type of tension?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay, I might have to watch this darn show. Oh, all right.
And like I told my wife, it's a little bit of a slow burn.
That's all right.
But if you stick with it, it's very rewarding.
Hey, I've been dying for American TV to be doing slow burns, and it's hard to find.
Yeah.
Like, the chance of The Bridge or The Killing coming out on American TV nowadays, oh my god, those are rainbow unicorns. Both of those shows are such slow burns.
Yeah, and The Killing didn't do well because of that, right? That's why Netflix took it over.
I know, which is a darn shame.
Mm-hmm.
So this sounds right up my alley. This is very, like, you almost have to go to Europe to find this type of pacing.
Yep. Yeah, check it out. I don't know if the first episode has enough for you to understand what's happening.
That's all right.
I think episode 1, like, definitely sets up who the characters are. Oh, there may be a secret organization involved with some of this stuff.
All right. I like the sound of that. No, this all sounds good.
It's really good. Highly recommended.
Okay. Has your wife given it a shot yet?
Not yet, but I had her put it on her queue.
Can I throw... Okay, speaking of the wife. Julie the Crew... Okay, podcast recommendation for everyone out there, for all the listeners. Even if you're not into sports, Bill Simmons' podcast, he's a known sports basketball guy.
Mm-hmm.
He does occasionally celebrity interviews. About a month ago, he had Julia Louis-Dreyfus on, and she is just the fucking queen. She is so good. And in this interview, the interview is about an hour and a half long, and she is just so funny, down to earth. She's just the best. And I thought she was the best way back in the day, and this just sort of cements it. She's just the queen. So I'm listening to her talk about Seinfeld, talk about Veep, and it just made me curb your enthusiasm, made me want to rewatch some of this stuff. So I go to the wife and I say, you know, hey, remember when we did Parks and Rec, we would watch like a couple episodes during dinner. And that just became our cadence. We would just start it up. I want to do that with either shows we've already watched. And of course, you know, I'm giving her a list of what I would like to watch. But deep down, what I really wanted to watch was like, let's watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. Let's watch Seinfeld again. Just to, like, I just want Julia Louis-Dreyfus in my life. But so I give her this list. And some of the stuff we've never watched. And some of it, like Friends or Seinfeld, we've watched. But they're all, like, situational comedy shows. Standard comedy shows. But I just wanted to, you know, check them out. But one of them that we've never watched, and the one that she chose, was The Office. So I was like, okay, great, let's watch that. And I'm like, I don't want the entire night to be us binging the show and getting burned out on it. So let's just watch one episode, two episodes a night, like I said, when we're eating dinner. And she's like, yeah, sure, sign me up. And we've, like I said, we've never watched the show. I know it gets tons of accolades. I've watched the British version. I know sort of what I'm in for. So we sit down and we're probably 3/4 of the way done with season one. And she is just like, when? And honest to God, we've probably watched 12 episodes, 14 episodes. Mm-hmm. And she, after, this was a couple nights ago, she looked over at me with dead seriousness after two episodes. And I was laughing. I thought there were plenty of funny parts. And she looked over at me completely deadpan, and she's like, when will I laugh? When does this show get funny? And I'm like, well, it's a little dry, and you know, but you don't find the situations they're in funny. You don't find Steve Carell. You don't find the deadpan look at the camera. You don't find that funny. And she was like, no, I haven't even smiled at this show yet. And I'm like, well, don't forget, like Seinfeld and Friends, they took a couple seasons to get going. And she goes, I know. And I did promise you that we'll watch it, but I don't see how this show ever even won an Emmy. What the hell? This is terrible. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, should we just stop watching this? Even though I don't want to stop watching it. Like, I want to continue. Like, obviously, there's something there. But it's like, I know for my wife, it's like fingers on a chalkboard. She's completely bored with it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I've tried. I'm kind of like your wife. I didn't think it was that funny. Like, there's funny bits in it.
There's funny situations.
Yeah, but I don't – like, my wife and Reagan have seen the entire show, like, four times.
Sure.
Like, every season. And they love the hell out of it. Like, they quote it all the time.
Plenty of people do.
And I'm just like, eh, like, all right. Like, there's good stuff in it. Like, I'll watch highlights on YouTube. But, yeah. Funny you should say that. Jenna Fischer is launching an Office podcast.
Wow. That's weird.
She played Pam.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember who the other girl is, but one of the other girls that was on the show, they're launching an Office. Angela.
I don't know her yet.
Angela is the blonde one that's like, she never smiles.
Oh yeah. The deadpan one.
And everything sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those two are launching an Office podcast, apparently. My wife's very excited.
That's weird. That's so random.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say Mindy Kaling.
No, she's too busy with her Amazon deal.
With her Hulu deal.
Oh, I thought it was Amazon. Is it Hulu?
Yeah, it's Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, interesting.
She's the creative force behind that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Office is fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I, like, and I even told her, I'm like, you loved Parks and Rec. It has the same style. And she's just like, it ain't the same characters. Like, she's just completely like, oh my God. So I watched, while we were eating today, I was halfway through a David Spade Comedy Central show. And I'm like, do you mind if I finish this while we're eating? We don't have to watch The Office. Just could we finish this? And she was like, oh, yes, anything. I was just like, oh, boy.
That's funny. That's so funny. All right. It's time to wrap it up, Nick. We didn't get through nearly anything.
Oh, I had so many anecdotes. Jason Momoa being blind.
Listen, we didn't talk about C.
I know.
We'll talk about that next time. I got a new tattoo. We didn't talk about that.
I know. Another streaming service that you're going to have to get.
Nope.
Well, now that you don't have Disney, since you don't want Disney Plus, this one will just snuggle right up next to you.
I mean, $4.99, that's a good deal, but I don't think so.
Not really? Come on. What are they going to carry? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll talk about C next time, because I think that was interesting.
Let's talk about your tattoo next time.
We'll talk about my tattoo next time. We will talk about some adventures in Nanda Parbat.
Yeah.
I received some questions and some incredulity about my recent practice of staring at my hand. Nice. So I'm going to answer a couple questions on that.
Nice.
And maybe some other stuff.
I like that.
This is too much. This is too much, Nick. Too much.
I'm in for that. Sign me up.
You know, some people podcast for 6 hours. We can't do that.
We can't. You have to. You're flittering off to the next podcast.
Probably.
Hey, I know you're a busy man.
Since you said that, though, of course we've talked about the Brightside Chat showing it joining the network. Mm-hmm. It's a great show. If you haven't checked it out, go listen to that. We also have Michael Sparkman brought the Bibliophile Adventures over.
Yes.
So check that out. I was on this 2 episodes ago. There was a recent episode on Appendix N from D&D. That was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. I'm working on a H.P. Lovecraft episode.
Cool.
I hear that somebody might be working on an episode on the Foundation series.
Oh.
So check that out. If you enjoy reading books, it's a great show. Also, we have another new show. The Indie Alley has joined the network. Mm-hmm. So shout out to those guys. There's, I don't even know, 35 episodes of that. So check that out as well. I think they're releasing, Fridays, new episodes. So really cool if you're into indie comics. And they also talk about wrestling. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Indie comics and indie wrestling.
Nice.
There is also going to be 2 new shows joining the network.
Ooh, breaking news.
So Mark is bringing the, it used to be called several years ago, the Nation of Nerds. Now it is the Comic Book Legion. So you'll be checking out the Comic Book Legion podcast. I believe by the time this episode comes out, that'll be out. And they also do a fantasy football podcast. So that'll be on the network as well.
Wow. Will mm-hmm. Paul be guest starring on that podcast?
I don't think so.
I don't know. He's big into fantasy football.
I mean, I don't know. If Mark wants him to, maybe.
I don't know.
I have no idea. So check those out. And I'm sure there'll be plenty more coming. I'll announce those as they come along.
Wow. That's things are in the works.
Yes, there's always new things in the works. Always new things in the works. That's it. We'll be back next week. With probably none of the topics that I mentioned, because we'll forget by then. So, Nick, put it on the show notes.
I will.
Thank you. You can find Nick at Nick Whitmore. I'm at GeekFind. The show is at Nerd Legion. Hello at NerdLegion.com is the email address. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.